Genesis chapter 5 today on Through the Word, and the very first family tree, or what you might call the Bible's first boring chapter. It's what we call genealogy, and truth be told, reading a list of names of people that you don't know, along with how old they were, when they had kids, and when they died, can be rather boring. However, we should never confuse boring with unimportant. Every good scientist, detective, or historian will tell you, boring facts often lead to surprising discoveries. This particular genealogy is essential. It is, after all, your family tree, the very roots of it, in fact. A family tree is a fascinating thing to research. It's where you come from, a part of who you are as an individual and as a human being. The roots of your tree start in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. So the opening verses remind us that God made Adam in his own likeness. We saw that back in chapter 1, and apparently it was worth repeating. You'll find that the Bible often repeats things that are important, sort of a divine clue, so pay attention when you see repetition. As it turns out, the words likeness and image carry one of the most important themes in the Bible, and you may want to do a word study. After all, an image is how we see something. You see an image and you perceive what the thing is. And what is the purpose of the Bible but to reveal to us who God is? God reveals himself through his word. So image is big because God's image reveals God's nature. As human beings, we have the awesome responsibility of bearing the image and likeness of God. So does that mean that we look like God? Well, sort of, but I think this is about something deeper than appearance. Verse 3 tells us that Adam had a son in his own likeness and image. Have you ever watched a kid grow up, and every now and then you find yourself saying, just like his dad, or just like her mom? And it's not just the chin or the eyes, it's a laugh or a talent, or maybe a kindness or stubbornness, or something not quite tangible, but very real and wonderful. It is the likeness of their dad or mom. In the same way, we are, every one of us, made in the likeness of God. Think of image like a picture. I see a picture of my friend laughing, and my mind is flooded with memories. The picture itself is not my friend, but it reminds me of him. In the same way, mankind is not God, but there is that glimmer of him that shines through us. When we show compassion or creativity, when we sacrifice to help, forgive a wrong, love an enemy, or bless a widow, when we invent something or create artwork, then they can say of us, just like their dad. That is what I think of God's image. Whatever it is to be made in God's image, Genesis makes it clear that it is our most essential piece. It's at our core, the very definition of what it is to be human. However, the image of God as revealed in mankind was distorted when man sinned. Back in Genesis 5, God made Adam in his likeness. Adam had Seth in his likeness, and the genealogy goes on from there. Let's catch up in verse 6. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years, and then he got very sleepy. No, sorry, that was actually me. The reading got a little repetitive there, and I got a little tired. Seriously, this is not the most eye-opening read, but there are some interesting questions to ask here. First question, how did these guys live so long? There are several good theories on this, with good science behind them. Adam and Eve's perfect DNA and superpower cell regeneration, a cloud canopy around the atmosphere that created a worldwide hyperbaric chamber, these are theories. Back in chapter 4, we asked where the first sons got their wives. That answer was pretty easy, but consider the same challenge for atheistic evolution. Where did the first male creatures get their wives? In any and every species. How did male and female evolve from asexual species? I have searched for answers, and every answer that I have found has been both confusing and absurd, and more than that, completely unfounded by any hint of evidence. Here in chapter 5, the genealogy continues with a fairly predictable pattern. I call it the lived, begat, died pattern. Begat is the King James for having kids. Adam lived, had kids, then died. Seth lived, had kids, then died. So did Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, and Jared. And that was life. But then in verse 21, one man stands out from the rest. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Wow. Where every other man simply lived, Enoch's life is described as walking with God. What does it take to have a life that stands out from every other, one that adds up to more than life, kids, and dying? More than all that this world has to offer? Walk with God. Live every step of this life in fellowship with God. Enoch did it, and check out what happened to him in verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's it. God took him. Enoch never died. God just took him. Every other man in chapter 5 lived and died. Enoch walked with God and never died, because God took him home. Perhaps it was a little rapture practice for the Lord, just checking out the system, I guess. Looking at Enoch, here is a life that I would like to emulate. What does it take to defy death in a world where everyone around you is defined by lived, had kids, and died? Think about that, and think about what it means to be a Christian. Jesus doesn't just ask us to believe in him. He invites us to follow him. And following requires walking together. Jesus also says that whoever lives and believes in him shall never die, but have eternal life. Walk with God, and he will take you to live with him forever. Read Genesis 5 for yourself today. Search through the boring to find a few gems. If you have a little time, try looking up the translation for each Hebrew name, then write them all out together in English, from Adam to Noah. Do not be fooled by their commonplace appearance. This is no ordinary genealogy. The boring names may just be concealing a diamond in the rough. And if you need a little help, you can ask me on Facebook. As you explore the roots of your family tree, consider your own life. Will yours be recorded with the rest, just another lived, begat, and died? Or will your life be a walk with the living God? The amazing thing about it is, when you walk with someone, you start to act and talk the way they do. You don't become them, just more like them, as if you were being remade in their likeness. That's what walking with God is all about. And that is what Jesus invites you to do. Here's how it works. Colossians says that Jesus is the express image of God. Humans are made in God's image, but Jesus is God's image. To look at Jesus is to see God. Mankind distorted God's image with wickedness, but God sent his own Son to earth to restore our view of who he is. And more than that, to restore the image of God in mankind. To follow Christ is to be made new. As Colossians has it, we are renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. As we walk with Jesus, we become more like him, and we get back to what we were made to be in the first place, transformed into his image. That is when people say of you, you're just like your dad.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.